There's a new COVID booster available to the public after the CDC approved the new shot earlier this month. The booster, recommended for everybody 6 months and older, comes as cases are on the rise around the country, with wastewater across Wisconsin showing very high levels of coronavirus. But there have been some shipping and supply issues with the new shot. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have questions about the new booster? Have you gotten it yet? Have you had trouble finding an appointment, or has your appointment been canceled? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. Dr. Jim Conway is a professor in the divisions of infectious diseases and global pediatrics at the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health. Dr. Conway, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks, Rob. Great to be back with you.
Why a new booster and why now?
Well, you know, this is the fall and this is when respiratory viral season picks up. And so we've been modeling and forecasting that, similar to what happens with influenza and RSV, that we would start to see this rise in cases. A lot of it has to do with people's behavior and how things sort of go as we get into these winter months. And as we had predicted, this is indeed what's happening. You know, the other piece of it, obviously, is then how much immunity do people have? And as we've all learned over these 3 years of dealing with SARS-CoV-2, you know, these things keep making mistakes as they replicate and they keep emerging with new mutations. And so while most of us have some immunity, either from vaccines or from previous infections or both, that immunity doesn't necessarily hold up. And so this is a way of basically either reminding or prompting the immune system to be a little bit more tuned into these new variants as they're starting to circulate.
With that in mind, can you talk about the design of this new booster? It's built around one particular variant, as I understand it, Dr. Conway, but it'll give protection against a lot of the latest makes and models of COVID-19.
Exactly. So as people have been aware, you know, we went through the Delta strain and now we're down to the Omicron strain. What we've seen is that the new mutations all seem to be deriving from this Omicron variant that had kind of started this rolling. And so as you're hearing about these things, most of these new strains are actually all just variations on a theme. So back in the, I guess, spring, everybody kind of got together at WHO, CDC, and others and had decided that this XBB 1.5 variant was a good starting point. We've certainly seen evolution, and now we have the EG5 as well as the BA2.86. But both of those are just derivatives of that Omicron XBB 1.5. So the good news is that even though the XBB 1.5 isn't as prevalent, it gives enough cross protection to these other strains that this is still going to hold up pretty well, it looks like.
Now, people will ask themselves when a new booster comes out, is this meant for me? Should I go out and get this thing? What's the answer to that?
Yeah, I mean, the easy answer is that it made sense to basically recommend it for everybody, you know, and at some level, except for the little babies and smaller kids that don't have any previous immune experience with COVID. You know, when we look at the data that's out there, it really looks like about 97% of Americans in kind of the adult and adolescent age groups have either had COVID or vaccine or both. And so what we really realized is that everybody sort of deserved an opportunity to get a little bit of a nudge with that existing immunity that they had to sort of push it in direction of being able to protect against this. So the recommendation is really, you know, that everybody should get at least a dose of this. Then, as I mentioned, you know, the young kids without any immune experience need a couple of doses. People with compromised immune systems probably need a little bit more oomph, and so they need multiple doses. But for the vast majority of people, basically a single dose, the way we get a single dose of our flu vaccine in the fall, seems to be the right answer to give people enough immunity so that if and when they do come into contact with this, they won't have severe and significant infection.
As I understand it, Dr. Conway, less than about 20% of Americans actually got the last round of boosters. They came out last fall-ish. Are you hoping we'll see a higher uptake this time around?
Yeah, I think we're predicting and pretty optimistic about what we're hearing already. I think there was a lot of confusion, to be honest, with, you know, especially that bivalent booster. It got really confusing for everybody, including those of us even in the medical community, trying to figure out exactly who needed what. You know, some people had two doses, some had three. This was going to be some people's fourth dose or their fifth dose. And so, you know, I think with the levels of disease we had, as well as the sort of mixed messaging, you know, a lot of people just didn't act on it because it wasn't clear what to do. I think it was appropriate to sort of take a pause And what we're seeing so far is, you know, really pretty robust interest in this, you know, and a lot of good polling, including from the Kaiser Family Foundation, that really does broad outreach into the general population, you know, that at least half of Americans, you know, feel like this is something that they're going to act on. We know that the older population, the same group that's very good about getting their flu vaccines, are also very eager to get this additional immunity. So I do think that it looks like we're going to be more successful. And a lot of it is that it's just better messaging. It's a lot clearer and cleaner for people and makes it a lot easier to understand.
We're talking about the latest updated COVID booster vaccine. Our guest is infectious disease expert Dr. Jim Conway with the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. You can join in if you like at 800-642-1234. Do you have questions about the COVID booster? Have you gotten it already? And our guest is a pediatrician. He can answer questions about COVID vaccines and kids. Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up here on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking about the updated COVID booster with Dr. Jim Conway, infectious disease expert at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. You can join in with your questions for our guest at 800-642-1234 or your experience seeking this booster, 800-642-1234. Dr. Conway, I understand this one's being distributed a little differently than usual. Instead of the federal government buying it and then shipping it around, this is going straight from the pharmaceutical companies to the drugstores. There have been supply chain problems. Even one of our producers has had an appointment a week in advance, arrived, and they'd run out of vaccine. They had to cancel a bunch of appointments. How much of a worry is the supply chain on this one?
Yeah, it's been a tricky rollout, and we kind of thought that this is how this was going to go. You know, as you mentioned, the federal government was sort of running the whole show when we were under those emergency orders and, you know, announced early in the year that this was essentially going to revert into the typical kind of commercial version of this. And the way that works then is obviously things go through people having to purchase and then get these vaccines into systems. You know, it's interesting because the commercial pharmacies, as was mentioned, you know, basically get first crack at these things because they actually do get their supply through the federal government still. But I think people always need to remember that the process is really that they manufacture these things, but FDA actually has to then clear every group of doses, every pallet that comes out, and then those move out from the federal government to the commercial pharmacies. For the rest of us in typical health systems, they move, you know, from the companies through FDA approval, then through sort of central distribution places, and then out into, you know, each of the health systems. So that's the kind of norm. But the problem was is that while some of this stuff was ready to go, they couldn't start moving it until the approvals finally came through from the FDA and the CDC. So we knew that this was going to take a couple of weeks. You know, I think one of the things people need to be aware of in a mildly cynical approach to things is that, you know, those big commercial pharmacies are, of course, going to announce immediately that they're going to open up appointments, and they've got a vested interest in getting people in to buy other things as well. But they, I think, were a little bit overly optimistic how things went before when the federal government was controlling everything, that it was going to go as quickly. But it really will eventually smooth out. We expect that, you know, these shipments are going to pick up over the next couple of weeks. And so I think what everybody was originally gearing towards was that this would be an October campaign. So while people have been successful in some places scoring a dose of vaccine before that, you know, we really had always planned on this being sort of starting hopefully by October 1st and really sort of picking up its tempo as we get into the middle of October.
Let's bring on a caller now. Randy is with us in West Allis. Randy, hi.
How you doing?
Good. What'd you want to ask about, Randy?
I'd like to ask, I'm planning on getting the shot, and I want to get the regular flu shot and the RSV shot at the same time. Is that possible?
Yeah, it's certainly possible if you can find a place that has all of them at the same time. One thing to just be aware of is obviously with each of these vaccines, there come some side effects that are, you know, usually pretty mild, but can be a little achy. Your arm will be sore, obviously, and some people do get a little bit of low-grade fever. So if you do them all at the same time, you know, just be aware that there may be a little bit of compounding of those side effects. You may feel a little crummy for a couple of days. You know, if you've got the luxury of being able to take a little bit of time off and be able to put your feet up, then that'll work well. You know, certainly you don't want to miss opportunities to get vaccines either. So if you do schedule and hope to get all three, but not all three are there, you know, certainly jump on the ones that you can get, and then you can get the other ones at a future date. You know, we don't want people delaying this and delaying this to try to sort of optimize it and get all three at the same time and end up then with a bottleneck and a logjam of people. So it's certainly reasonable to do it if you can get them. And again, you know, making sure that you're prepared for it. But I wouldn't hold out and wait too long. We know that there's already flu in the communities. RSV is starting to pop up here and there. And obviously COVID's out there as well. So it is important for people to just get moving on this stuff as soon as they can.
Randy, thanks for that call. And Dr. Conway, people are familiar with these COVID vaccines. The flu vaccine, of course, has been around for a long time. RSV may be new to people. What are the recommendations as to who might want to get that RSV vaccine?
Sure. So this has been kind of a holy grail thing in my world, actually, around respiratory viruses. Respiratory syncytial virus is what RSV stands for. And, you know, it was a disease that we always focused on being really severe in premature babies. But I think that it was sort of one of those under-recognized problems that we actually, over the COVID pandemic and even, you know, a little bit before that, as more testing became available, we started realizing that this one not only struck little babies, but actually also victimized older individuals, just like flu and COVID do. And so a number of companies have now come up with RSV vaccines for that over 60 population. It's, you know, a vaccine that has been now offered, and especially for people that are at high risk, basically the same group of people that are at high risk for having bad outcomes from COVID should really think about RSV as being something that they add to their armamentarium of protection. You know, the other kind of confusing part of this is that there's also a newer product for the young babies that's now universally recommended for all the newborns, because we also discovered over the last 5 to 10 years that RSV doesn't just hit those premature kids, that more than half the kids hospitalized with RSV are actually completely normal newborns and young babies. So we've got things now at both ends of the age spectrum. And I really would think of RSV as being similar to flu and to COVID, is that, you know, for normal healthy people in their kind of middle ages, you know, probably not as severe a disease, but it's really those older individuals and then those young kids where these things can be a problem.
Thanks again for that call, Randy. Dr. Conway, with the new COVID vaccine, what's the cost situation? As I understand it, insurances are supposed to cover it, and there's a program to help the uninsured. What's going on?
Yeah, so, you know, we've obviously, with the Affordable Care Act, you know, driven people towards having health insurance. But, you know, we know that there's probably 25 to 30 million adults that still fall through the cracks and either don't have health insurance or have health insurance of some type that doesn't cover COVID vaccine costs. So the CDC does have funding for what's called the Bridge Access Program. And that basically is a no-cost program to provide COVID vaccines to people that meet eligibility criteria. You can just go to vaccines.gov, which is a kind of one-stop shopping site that'll actually direct people to the providers then that can provide those COVID vaccines to people through that Bridge Access Program. So while we knew this was going to sort of shift into a more traditional vaccine marketplace, you know, people knew that we really needed to optimize this and make sure we didn't let anybody fall through the cracks. So that Bridge Access Program is supposed to pick up that slack. And again, that's at vaccines.gov to get more information for people that are either underinsured or don't have health insurance that covers vaccines.
Dr. Conway, thanks again for joining us today.
Thanks, Rob. Always a pleasure.
That's Dr. Jim Conway, professor in the divisions of infectious diseases and global pediatrics at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. He joined us for a look at the latest on the updated COVID booster.